You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
To do it myself. I love Home Improvement. I don't mean the TV show. That was fun too. How many of you recognize that song? Okay, because some of you didn't, because that means I'm old. Okay. I love the idea of Home Improvement. I love doing it myself. We were just talking about this the other day. When we first got married, I asked my father-in-law, who was a contractor by trade for years, I asked for a drill for Christmas. And my in-laws, bought a drill for me for Christmas. And it said Makita, which is brand name, but it could have said Fisher-Price. He was being nice. They were being polite. They were like, yes, city boy, here you go. Have your drill. And honestly, it really could have said a Fisher-Price. It was that kind of a thing. And I'm grateful. I certainly am. But using that drill and just kind of starting what, I don't know, maybe desperation, maybe poverty, whatever you want to call it, you learn how to do things yourself when you can't afford to hire someone else to do it. And I've talked about my personality, and you guys, if you know me, know that I've got issues. But because of that, because of my personality type, I want to do things the correct way. So that's good to know. If I happen to do a job for you, unless you're Kirk and Hannah, and I happen to break your intake pipe to your water supply before the meter, so therefore you cannot turn it off and then it floods your basement. But that's another story for another time. But for the most part, I do things the right way. I've learned what code is. I enjoy plumbing-ish. I love drain supply. I don't mind doing DWV, as they call it, drain waste vent. I do not like supply lines as much, although PEX these days, if you don't know anything I'm talking about, that's okay. But PEX makes things a lot easier. But it always scares me, the idea of like, okay, with plumbing, you either it worked or it didn't. So you either turn that water supply back on and things go where they should, or things don't. And so that's kind of scary to me. But I really like electrical. I love how all that works in terms of wiring and the grounds and the neutral. And I do everything according to code. And what have we done? We've rebuilt basically every room in our house except for the kitchen, which I get reminded of about every 10 minutes. That's eventually where we're going. But I've done it myself. I mean, I shared with you guys last month or so about my water heater going out. And aside from the money that it cost to buy a new one, I didn't mind that I had to replace it. Like, no big deal. I know how to do that. Now, if anything goes wrong with my car, like that little light comes on that says low fuel, I barely know what to do then. But for home, I love to do things myself. I love to fix it. I enjoy that. I find time. And all of you are like, well, how come you don't come and help me with my project? I would love to. Obviously, time is also a factor there, and I'm usually busy, stuck doing my projects and things like that. But that's something I really enjoy doing. I like to spend time doing that, and it's fun for me. It's relief. And if you were probably a full-time contractor, when you get off, you probably go home for the day, and I don't know, maybe read your Bible and talk to people about their personal problems. For me, I like to do it the other way around. So when I get off for the day, I don't talk to people. I mean, I do read my Bible. That sounds bad. But I just like to drop myself into some work that requires just, I don't know, whatever you call that part of my brain that makes me want to put in screws and line up whether the neutral and the power line. So I like to do that. Here's the thing about this, though. As much as that is great, it certainly helps us financially. When you look at how much it costs to hire someone to do things, I mean, we had to get a local cable company had to come in, and we had a problem with our cable, and the guy told me something that I had done and could have done myself, and said, I can't figure out your problem, and then they charged us $90 for that. So that was wonderful, But so you look at the cost, something like that, and doing it yourself has definitely perks and benefits. But the problem with doing it yourself is that a lot of times, and maybe all of us on some level have a do-it-yourself part, you know, you're really good at this, you're really good at that, and that's, you know, God created us that way. We have gifts, we have talents, abilities to do some things. But the problem with doing it yourself is that eventually that breaks down. Because when you spend your life focusing on doing it yourself, you have a couple of problems. One, you can't do everything. You can't. And two, because you can't do everything, you start to worry. And what I'm talking here is not whether the water is going to come out of the line when I turn the main water on. I'm talking about just problems in our lives. And see, as humans, we have this built-in part of us that wants to do it ourselves, that wants to fix it, that wants to make it right. And when we can't because we can't, then we start to worry. Then we get stressed out. Then our temper gets short. Then everything around us is messed up because we feel like it is our responsibility to fix things. Whether that is a project, a work project, whether that is a personal issue in your life, whether it's an issue of someone else's life, whether it's a family problem, whether it's a work situation, there are multiple things that are totally out of your control. And if you are somewhat human like I am, we end up worrying. And because we can't fix it. If I can fix it, I fix it. But when I can't, my only response, my natural response is to worry, is to get stressed and overwhelmed. And honestly, it just seems like, and maybe you're like me or not, but it seems like all these things tend to happen at the same time. You know? Or I don't want to be a pessimist. I can't afford to be a pessimist. God does too many great things in our lives to spend our time going, well, look at this, didn't work well. But I will say this, that it seems like right when things were going well, then that's when the phone call comes, right? And so we have this, like, we've got to try to fix everything. And you can't, Nemo. You just can't. And so it leads to worry. And so I want to talk to you about the solution. Because I know the answer to that. And I want to tell you that I know the answer to this problem. I know it. And I have known it. My issue is putting it into practice. And we're going to talk more about that today. But the issue, in order to overcome worry, in order to deal with it, the way that we can get back to that peace is through prayer. And that's the point that I want you to walk away with today, is that prayer is the way back to peace. That if you want to get over your worry, if you want to get over your stressed out life, if you want to get over all this stuff that you're trying to fix yourself, the answer is prayer. And we'll talk more about what that means in a moment, so I'm not just going to leave you totally hanging on that. But prayer is the way back to peace. And I want to talk about this series. Of course, I said earlier, we started this series today. It's 2 months. It's all about this idea of breadcrumbs. And if you know the story of Hansel and Gretel and how they were, I don't even know how they got to the house in the first place. Weren't they like wandering off and disobeying their parents? So there you go, kids. Don't disobey your parents. But they found this house, and I should actually read the story. But we know, I remember, you know, that the way they found their way back home was that they dropped breadcrumbs along the way. And those breadcrumbs led them back, and then I think birds ate them at one point. So we're not talking about breadcrumbs that birds can eat. But the idea of finding your way back, that's the whole point. The whole point of breadcrumbs, the whole point of that story, well, there's probably deeper points too, but was that when they left trails of breadcrumbs, they could find their way back. And this series is all about that idea. Because I feel like if this is your first time in any church, if this is your first time in MC3, if this is you come here every week, you haven't been here for a while, wherever you are, I think, my suspicion, you know, unless you just really want nothing to do with Jesus, God, church, anything like that, and there might be issues with that in your past that have caused kind of your thinking that way. But I don't think many of us, most of us, I don't think we choose to say, you know what, I'm gonna turn my way back. I'm gonna turn away from God. I'm gonna turn away from what is good in my life, what I know I should do. People, I don't, maybe you do, but for my most of my experiences, people don't make that choice on their own. They don't decide, you know what, today I know that this is what I'm supposed to do, but I'm just gonna go this way because I don't really care. It usually happens because we get busy. because life happens, because things come into our lives, and maybe they're worries, there's things that we can't fix. Maybe it's stress, maybe it's just someone just pushes you over the edge, they push your buttons, and all of a sudden you find yourself exploding in anger. And you're like, that's not what I want to do, that's not who I want to be. Or maybe you're discouraged, and there's just this point where something bad happens, and it's not your fault, and you don't even feel like you need to fix it, but you're just kind of like, I'm tired. I'm weary. And so this path, this kind of this idea of what God wants for us, we end up just slowly working our way off of the path, working our way off from where God wants us to be. And we get to this point often where we look back and say, wow, look how far away I've come. Look how far away I've gotten. I've gone. And that's what this series is all about. Because when you get to that point, the cool thing about God is because of His love and His grace, He always accepts us back. He always leaves breadcrumbs, as you saw in the intro video there. He always leaves breadcrumbs, a way for us to find our way back. And so that's what we're going to be doing over these next 2 months. This series is all about finding your way back. And maybe for you, it's finding your way back to church. You are here. You are at MC3. And you have not been consistent. You've gotten away. You've drifted. And maybe it's because of things in life. And that's okay. And again, I'm not saying you have to be here every week or God doesn't love you. It's not what I'm saying. But maybe it's time to find your way back to that. Maybe there's just an issue that we're going to be talking about. And it's like, man, that has been catching me up each time. And I know I'm not where God wants me to be in that area. So maybe it's your time to find your way back to that. Maybe it's prime groups. Maybe you have... You know, you're not connected anymore. You were connected or you never were connected in a prime group. And you're like, well, I don't have many friends or there aren't many people around me that I'm close to. And I say the answer is get in a prime group. And maybe that's where you need to be. Maybe you need to come back and get connected that way. So, and again, maybe this is just for you to go to someone else outside of this room right now. And invite them to come to MC3. And again, if this is your first time or, you know, if you're relatively new to MC3, like, we don't really push you to invite your friends. It's not like, hey, come and we'll give you a lollipop. But I honestly feel that this series and this concept about finding your way back, it's not about coming to MC3. It's about finding your way back to Jesus, back to what He has intended for us, back to the things that we know. And again, that we know we want, but just how do we get there? Or we just need a reminder, maybe a little kick in the butt to say, hey, it's time to come back. And so that's what this series is all about over these next 2 months. Each week we're going to be covering just different topics. They're kind of all over the place, but they're things, as I look at the Bible, like these are things where we're like, yeah, I want that again. I had that once before, or I know that that's the right thing, and I want to get there. So I want to encourage you, this is a great time to invite people. Not that it's not any other time, but this is a great way to say, hey, we're doing a new series at our church. It's kind of a weird church. The walls are black. It's sometimes it's cold in the building. Sometimes it's warm. You know, we do things a little bit differently. We're on the cutting edge with Instagram. But maybe it's just say, hey, come and check out our church. And this is, again, looking for, like, let me tell you this. You guys, some of you know, if you've been here, have heard me talk. Like, MC3, we're about 4.5 years old. And about 5-ish years ago, and around this time, you know, God really started to develop this vision in me and many other people. Just randomly, in my perspective, randomly, but according to His perspective, He knew what He was doing. But it was this idea to do something different. Start a church that's not for more church people. There's great churches out here for people that go to church. But to start a church where people who don't go to church, who are kind of outside of their circles, and maybe they were burned by church as a kid, they were forced to go and they got tired of it, or something bad happened, or whatever. Like, just to create a church where people can come back. And that's what MC3, I mean, that's what this is all about. And so that's what this series is, to say, hey, come back. We've got a church here that might be different. And if people walk in and are like, you know what, that's not my thing. I really prefer people that dress up in suits, and I like to sing hymns out of a book and sit in rows and pews. That's cool. There's a lot of great churches for that, too. But just inviting people to come back. Come back here. Come back to church in general so that they can see and hear what God has for them. And so that we can be back on that path that we really intended. So that's what's going on with this series. It's time to find our way back. So we're going to be talking about this each week, each month, just to encourage you to do that. And his prime groups start this week. It's another opportunity. You can invite someone, hey, I've got a group of people from our church. We don't meet in a church building. We just meet in our house. It's a great time for you to come and meet some people. And so that's what we're doing here. So just kind of setting you up. This week we're looking at this idea of worry, this idea of peace. And what does it mean to come back to peace? Because I think, you know, there's times in our lives, and we know perhaps too, that, well, I think we all want peace. We all want, I'm not talking John Lennon, Yoko Ono. We all want to have this sort of inner peace where things are okay. And I think we all want that. And so the answer to that, the answer to solving the do-it-yourself problem is prayer. That's the way that we get back to peace. So the lights are going to come on if you have a paper Bible. We're going to look at this passage. If you have YouVersion, you can go to Philippians chapter 4. By the way, let me apologize. We have free Wi-Fi here, and you know, like a billion kids got tablets for Christmas at MC3, and so we are totally maxing out our router. So if you can't connect, I apologize. I am working with towards a solution with that. But anyway, so right now, if you can't connect to Wi-Fi, sorry, and maybe plan for the short term to not connect if you have a way to download. I know YouVersion lets you download offline versions of the Bible. So anyway, we're looking at Philippians chapter 4. And this is a letter. This is the letter that the Apostle Paul, he was one of the first church planters. He started a church, a bunch of churches all over the place. And this is a letter that he wrote to the church that he started in a town called Philippi. And he writes all sorts of different things, and he kind of ends it with some concluding thoughts. And so that's what Philippians is. And he says in verses 6 and 7, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So if you grew up in church, you might have heard this passage. If you went to youth group as a kid, you know, this is one of like number one after John 3:16, probably. The next one you would memorize, maybe Jeremiah 29:11. You know, it's one of the definitely the top 10 of like church things you have to memorize as a kid. And there's a good reason for that, because this makes a difference. This concept matters. And it's funny because I said, I know this. This is one of the verses I memorized when I was in seventh grade. Following through and doing it, I sometimes need a reminder. I often need a reminder. So here's this passage talking about giving our worries to God. So let's break it down. Let's look at it here a little bit. The first thing when it comes to this idea is that you need to understand you can't fix it. If we're going to try, if you want to find your way back to peace, to things being okay, you have to stop trying to fix it, because you can't. You cannot control. Frankly, we can barely control ourselves. Am I right? Much less control other people. We can't control other people or other situations. So you can't fix it. And so God knows that. God gets that. He understands that. He planned for that. And so the first thing he tells us to do is don't worry. Don't worry. So immediately when you find yourself in a spot wondering, how is this going to work out? How is that going to come through? How am I going to make these ends meet? Is this the right person? Are they not the right person? Stop. Don't worry. Now, God didn't just leave us there. We'll come back to this some more. But that's the first part. Do not worry. Don't be anxious. And that's what the first part of Philippians says. Do not be anxious about anything. And if you have a different translation you're looking at, it probably says something about worry. Do not worry about anything. The Greek word here means to have anxiety, to be worried, to be stressed. If you wake up in the middle of the night concerned, that's the nice word, but I'm just concerned about that. Get off yourself. You're worried and you shouldn't be. But if you wake up in the middle of the night, that's worry. If you find yourself stressed, it's tied into it. It's worry. if you find where things start to make your heart beat a little bit faster, it might be love, but it could be worry as well. And that's the idea. He says, don't worry. Don't be anxious about any of it. Don't let any of it affect you. Don't let it drive you. Don't let it be something that hides deep down within and you pretend everything's fine. He just says, don't do it. And that's the thing. I mean, the words do not mean do not. There's no like, oh, in this situation, it's cool. But over here, do not worry. He says, do not worry. Do not be anxious about most things. No, anything. Do not be anxious about anything. Wait, Sean, you don't understand. What about this situation? This is a major life-changing decision. Don't worry about it. God says don't worry about anything. Well, okay, but we just got a call from the doctor. And this is changing everything. Don't worry about it. Do not be anxious about anything. So the first step is don't worry. And again, if that is the end of it, we'll be like, God, that's really rotten. God, okay, thanks. Thanks for that tip. Don't worry. But that's not where he leaves it. But I just need you to understand that that's the first step. That if you find yourself worrying, if you find yourself anxious, if you find yourself stressed, if you can't sleep at night, if your heart is beating, if you're having panic attacks, there are some issues here. There might be medical issues too, but I will tell you that worry is a part of it. And he says, do not be anxious. Do not worry about anything. The second thing, because you can't fix it, after you realize you don't worry, the second thing is start praying. That's the next step. That's where God does not abandon us. That's where God doesn't just say, you know what, too bad, stop worrying, good luck on that. He says, don't worry because you need to start praying. And I will just tell you this, that prayer is simply talking to God. That's all prayer is. If you grew up in church, if you haven't grown up in church, and maybe you've seen, I mean, of course, TV does a great job showing us how we're supposed to talk to God. And he lobbeth thine holy hand grenade, not once, but thine twiceth. Anyway, we have this idea that, I don't know how to talk to God. It's super spiritual, super... God understands us, God loves us, and we just need to talk to him. So that's what praying is, just so you know, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But the response to worry is prayer, which is to talk to God. And this is what he goes on and says, Paul writes, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And we actually, the kids are learning this same passage in Ignition right now. That's what we do here at MC3. The kids learn the same thing as the parents. They're actually learning a different version, I believe, of this. But I really wanted to spend some time with you as adults to kind of look at this, because there's some words here that a little bit over the heads of kids, but I think are perfect for us to grasp. But this idea, he says, don't worry about anything, but in every situation by prayer. And prayer simply means talking to God, as I said. That's what he says, by prayer, by talking to God, and that's the first part, by prayer. Don't worry, but pray. Don't worry, but talk to God. When you feel like there's a problem that you can't handle, when you're trying to do it yourself, Paul says, don't worry, pray. Talk to God. But then he says this next word. He says, by prayer and petition. And petition is such a cool word. And it's a word, I mean, when you think of, at least when I think of petition, I see some guy showing up at my house saying, hey, my name's Joe Schmalamamli, and I want to run for council. Will you sign this petition? Are you Republican? Are you Democrat? Are you independent? I got a petition for all three. I can do it all. That's what I think of petition. But this word, actually, it's the word is deesis. And it means to pray, but more than just speaking, it means to beg, to implore, to ask specific requests. So he says, when you come to God, like, we don't need to be like, oh, okay, I'm worrying. Okay, God, you are wonderful. You're great. You're majestic. You're amazing, which he is, all of those things. But he's also real and personal and intimate. God knows us. So Paul says, when you're worried, you don't just have to start talking and sound spiritually fancy, anything like that. Bring your knees before God. It is okay to say, God, today sucks. That is okay. Because God knows that. God understands that. And so when we bring our needs before him, say, God, I want this to happen. This is what's going on. I need it to change. This isn't some wimpy kind of talk. This is some serious bringing it to God in an intense kind of way. And he says, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, and we talked about that actually over the summer. I'm not going to get into that too much. But the idea is just when we take a moment to reflect on all that God has done, as I said earlier, I can't afford to be a pessimist. When we take a moment to say, God, I'm really upset about this, but then reflect on, wow, I'm really glad that I have all these other things. I mean, I'm really upset that my water heater broke a few weeks ago, but I'm glad I have a house and the potential for hot water and indoor plumbing and all those things. I mean, so that's what he's talking about with Thanksgiving. Kind of reflect a little bit, take a moment before you get too whiny about things, because I do. And then he says, present your requests to God. So he says, don't be anxious, don't worry. By prayer and even begging and imploring and just being real with God, bring your requests to him. And the word request, it means this idea of what do you want? What do you want to do? What do you want God to do? Bring them to him. When you're worried, when you're stressed, when you find like everything is just beating you down, Paul says, and God is speaking through Paul, don't worry. Bring it to God. Beg him. Bring it before him and just say, God, this is awful. Present them to him. That is the second step. That is the step. So the problem is worry. The solution is prayer, which I said is talking to God. And we actually spent a whole series a couple of years ago, actually in 2013, on a series called Wireless. So if you're interested in learning more about prayer and exploring that, we spent 4 weeks talking about it at mc3church.org. Look for the Wireless logo there on Listen to the Point, and you can listen back. We spent 4 weeks talking about what is prayer and how do we talk to God and all that. So if prayer is a new thing for you, this is a great place to go and check it out to learn more about that. But the Paul has these kind of steps. Is you can't fix it, so you need to not worry. Don't worry. Start praying. And that's the solution. The problem is worry. The solution is praying. And then what happens? And that's the best part. He says, find peace. If you don't worry and start praying, you will find peace. Like, don't you just want that? Don't you like want to be able to breathe out and just, okay, find peace. And I love it. You know, this is something that is, well, let's look at it in verse 7 then. He says, don't worry, bring everything to God. And he says, and then the peace of God. This word peace, it means it's irene. It's a word that we've talked about before. And it's this idea of everything being just right. It's kind of this idea of harmony. The Old Testament word, the Hebrew word would be shalom. The really New Age word would be zen. Like the idea is that everything is just right. And that's what he's saying. He says, when you stop worrying and bring it to God, you will experience the peace of God. And understand that this is not peace because you worked out your situation. This isn't even peace because God worked out your situation. And we'll come back to that. We'll talk about that in a second here. But this is a peace that God has given to you. And he goes on and says, that it transcends all understanding. So Paul says, look, speaking on behalf of God, when you have a problem, don't worry. Pray about it. And when you do, God's peace will fill you, and it ain't going to make a bit of sense. I don't know if you've had one of those moments where people are like, how in the world can you be acting this way? You just found that out. You just got that diagnosis. You just lost your job. And there's that if you're kind of in this spot where you're like, it's God. It's God. It's the peace of God. There's something about it. It doesn't make sense. It transcends understanding. It goes beyond what we think. It goes beyond, okay, this person wronged me, and I'm not going to get back at them. And people say, what's up with you? You should go get back at them. You can get them fired. I'm not going to worry. I'm going to pray. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, is going to guard my heart and my mind. The thing about this peace of God, too, is that it's not because nothing in here does God say, don't worry, and then pray. And once you pray, God will fix everything for you and make it what you want. It doesn't say that. It says, don't worry. When you pray, God will give you peace. That is only a God thing. And the passage there in verse 7, are we still there? Did we go ahead or we go back to verse 7? There. He says it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so the hearts and mind, I mean, it basically means what we think it means in our modern day. Emotionally, mentally, God will make it work for you. God will give you peace. God will not necessarily solve your problems, but let me put it this way. God won't necessarily change your circumstances, but He will most definitely change you. And I know this passage. I've taught this passage before. I was a youth pastor for 10 years. We taught it like every other year, every other month. I mean, it was just one of these things. And students would come to me, and you guys have come to me over the last few years. I'm really concerned. I'm worried about this. Concerned, again, because it sounds more spiritual that way if we're concerned about it. And we'll say, just pray about it. Meanwhile, your pastor, I'm up here worried out of my mind about stuff. And I know that I'm supposed to bring it to God. And in those moments, honestly, it is transcending. It goes above and beyond what makes sense. Those moments where nothing has changed in the circumstance at all. But I have peace. Because that's how God works. Instead of trying to fix it, we bring it to Him in prayer. And God will give you peace. So maybe you found yourself, you're kind of wandering off of that. You know, you're far away from where you want to be. You find yourself worried about everything. Big things, little things, some things, no things. And for you that grew up in church, you probably know this. And maybe you've never heard this before. But either way, the result, the way to get back on the path to peace is through prayer, is to come to God, bring your issues, bring your needs, bring your concerns before Him. And let me tell you, God has the ability and has and will move mountains, literally, make changes for you in the situations and come through in ways where like, wow, that is only God. But even if He doesn't, because He might be working something out that you'll never see, that's a whole other talk for another day. But even if He doesn't, God promises peace. When we truly bring it to Him, when we lay it before Him. Because prayer is the way back to peace. So, if we try to fix it ourselves, we think we can do it, but we can't. And we get worried about it. We get stressed. We get overwhelmed. What are we going to do? How is this going to work out? How is God going to come through? How am I going to come through? How am I going to fix it? Don't worry. Pray. And then the peace will come. So what does prayer look like? What does that mean? Again, you can go back to that wireless series and listen where we really kind of pick apart prayer. I think we spent that whole series looking at the Lord's Prayer, talking about what does it mean to pray. But I want to just kind of give you a couple of tips, a couple of hints, and tips for me. Maybe I need to give me these tips and these hints. But what does it mean to be a prayer? How does that work? How do we do that? And again, if you're from outside of church and you know your experience was what TV shows us, or maybe you grew up knowing as prayer, I mean, that can be kind of intimidating. Maybe you grew up in church and you know what prayer is, but not how to do it. So I just want to kind of offer a couple of thoughts for what it means to be a prayer. The first thing is that being a prayer means surrender. Do you understand what I mean by prayer? One who prays is surrender. And this is the idea. This is the you can't fix it yourself. You have to be willing to give that up. You have to be willing to surrender and say, okay, I can't do this. If you're not willing to give that up, then you truly are not worrying, which means you still are worrying. And then your prayer probably isn't even real because you're just throwing something out. But when you give up and say, God, I'm done trying to fix it. I'm done trying to make it work. Then you come to Him in prayer. That's surrender. That's what it means to give up. There's this passage in Matthew chapter 11, which is such a cool passage. Jesus is talking and he says there, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Let me just say a couple of things about this, that Jesus was talking to a group of people that had been following and under the, let's just say, the oppression, the leadership, the rule of the Pharisees. And the way the Pharisees led the religious people, the way the Pharisees led the Jewish people at the time that Jesus comes on the scene, was by following every rule to the letter of the law. And the rules were so complicated and so hard that you pretty much messed up all the time, or you faked it and were a hypocrite. And that's what the Pharisees were great at, and Jesus called them on it. They were the leaders, and basically their job was to look good on the outside, but not really follow God on the inside. And so Jesus is talking to these people that have been trying to follow these rules and these laws and trying to do everything right to earn their way to God and get their way and say, if I'm good enough, God will accept me, which is not true. Jesus then says, come to me, all of you. If you're tired of this, if you're tired of trying to fix it yourself, if you're tired of trying to make it your own way, come to me and I will give you rest. And I will give you peace. Take my yoke upon you, which is just basically follow my teachings. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. God's saying, Jesus, the Son of God, is saying, I am here to make it easy for you because I love you. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Maybe you are here today and you need to just give yourself to Jesus. Coming to church doesn't do it. That's a burden. You can keep coming to church all your life, but if you've never turned your life over to Jesus to become a follower of His, it's not going to matter. We are stuck in our ways. We can't earn it. That was why Jesus showed up. That's why Jesus came. He died on the cross to take our sin. That's the whole point. He died the death that we deserve to die. And the way we come to Him, the way we take our yoke upon Him, is simply believing that He did for us what we could never do on our own. And that's the message. I mean, that's the story of the Bible. That's what Jesus is all about. The Old Testament telling us how the people could never do it on their own, and then Jesus shows up and says, I'm here to do it for you. And so maybe that's where you are. Maybe you need to surrender your life to become a follower of Jesus. Which simply is believing, not doing. believing that his death on the cross took the sins, took your sins, and he died in the death that we are supposed to die. So maybe that's your first step. If you don't know what that is, there's a lot of people around here, I'm sure. I would be glad to talk to you. Any of the guys in the high shirts could talk to you more about that. Prime groups are starting this week, and you can talk to your prime group leader about that. But maybe that's where you are. And maybe you're already a follower of Jesus, and so you just need to give it up. Stop trying to fix it because it's not your responsibility. You need to surrender. You need to come back to Jesus because you're trying to make it work. You're trying to, okay, I'll solve this financial problem by working way more hours. I'll solve this situation by making sure that I'm never with my family or I'm never at church because I've got the overtime and it's going to make it work out. But you still can't do it. You're not going to be able to solve the family problems by just spending more time, I don't know, by getting these people together or, hey, give them a book to read. Maybe that'll fix it. You can't fix it. God is the one that can fix these things. And so Jesus says, come to me. Stop trying to do it yourself. Just surrender. Give it up. Give it to Him. So that's the first step to becoming a prayer. To becoming one that experiences God's peace is someone that is willing to just give it all up. And say, God, I'm done. I surrender. I can't do this anymore. I can't fix it myself. That's the first step. The second thing about being a prayer is it means planning. It means planning. Now, for me, this is something that is exciting to me. I like to plan. I like to plan things on a calendar. I mean, I was telling, I think it was Brian the other day, like when he gave me the schedule for prime groups for this winter cycle, I was excited because I get to put them on the calendar and get the dates all lined up right. And woo, it's weird, I know, but that gets me going. But even if it's not your thing, you still need to have a plan because you have a plan for a lot of things in your life. You most likely, I mean, looking around there, most likely you have a plan. You had a plan for getting here this morning. You woke up. Step one. You got dressed. Thank you. Step two. You drove, walked, cycled, hoverboarded. Anybody get one for Christmas? To here by following a route. There was a plan in all of that. And yet when it comes to prayer, we say, yeah, God, I don't want to worry anymore. I don't want to worry anymore. I don't want to worry anymore. I want to pray some more. Well, then make a plan. Come up with a way that works for you where you can spend time praying. Now, again, it doesn't mean that you can't pray if you're driving. It doesn't mean you can't pray in the moment you hear something interesting and you want to pray about it. It doesn't mean anything you can't pray, but if we have a plan, it helps. Now, you've got two passages here. One is in Daniel chapter 6, and this is in, yeah, Daniel 6. This is about Daniel. He was a follower of God in the Old Testament, and there was a rule that was just handed down, basically said, if you pray to anybody but the leader, then you will be killed. But it says, when Daniel learned that this law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual. Is that highlighted? Yeah, as usual in his upstairs room. See, Daniel had a plan. With his windows open toward Jerusalem, he prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks, tying that back to Philippians, giving thanks to his God. See, Daniel had a plan. It was a three times a day plan. And you don't have to have a three times a day plan, but you need to have a plan. And there's a great song that was done by our Ignition ATU team last year about Daniel praying three times a day, and I will post it on our Facebook page this week. If you haven't seen it, it will get stuck in your head and never leave you again. You can also find it on the YouTube channel that we have as well. So Daniel had a plan. And then if you go into the New Testament, you've got Jesus here in Mark chapter 1. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. See, Jesus had a plan. Jesus' plan was early in the morning while it was still dark. That is not my plan. As much as I would love it to be my plan, it doesn't mean that I'm not doing what Jesus did, but the morning and when it's still dark is not my time. I have other plans in there. But the point is, Jesus had a plan. His was early in the morning. Maybe early in the morning is what works for you, and so you need to say, okay, I'm going to get up a little bit earlier. Because maybe early in the morning, I know some people are crazy, and like at 6 a.m., they're like, this is when I'm the best. Let's do stuff. And I'm like, 6 a.m., in 4 more hours, I'll wake up. Okay? But that's some people. We tend to be more night people. I find that morning is when I'm more creative and focused. So, you know, it's just, you need to find out who you are and then make a plan. And I would encourage you, you know, talk to someone else about that plan. Maybe it's, you know, when you're eating breakfast. You do that hopefully every day. So it's tied to something that you do regularly. I mean, the idea is to come up with a plan. Jesus had a plan. It was early in the morning. Daniel had a plan. It was 3 times a day. There is no rule about what that plan needs to be, but if you don't have a plan, you won't do it. It won't happen. And it doesn't also, please listen to this too. It also doesn't mean that if you miss a day, then you're going to hell. Or that God has stopped loving you or anything crazy like that. You know what happens? We're human. And when we're human, we don't follow through on everything. So you say, oh, missed that day, lose my way, I'm going to get back on the path again. And YouVersion has tons of Bible plans that you can be a part of if you want to have a way. And they'll even send you a reminder every day, email, notification reminder, to say, hey, don't forget to read your Bible. And again, if you need more information about YouVersion and how to do that. But the point is that there's a plan. I would encourage you, if you want to be a person that isn't worrying and isn't stressed about everything and it finds yourself off the path and you want to get back on, make a plan. Come up with something. What works best for you? And if that plan means you're praying 3 times a day, starting with very early in the morning before it gets dark or before the sun comes up, good for you. Great. Go for it. Or if your plan is, you know what? I get a lunch break for a half hour, and before I heat up my food in the microwave for the final countdown, before I heat up my food, I'm going to take 5 minutes to just pray. And that there is a plan. So that's just find a plan. Come up with a way that you are able to focus on prayer. I have a problem with my IT band, and the technical name for the IT is the iliotibial band. And it is a running injury that that I have had for years. I had MRIs on it and all sorts of things. And and went with a whole bunch of people from MC3 in September, I believe it was. We went up to the color run, did the color run up in State College. And I, about 2/3 of the way through it, something went doink in my leg. And Cora's not here. Cora dared me to race her to the finish line. And I just played the old card and said, no, I'm not going to do that. And I'm really glad I did, because I probably wouldn't be walking. But I did a lot of research, found out basically it's because there's this muscle in part of my leg here. It's a muscle band ligament thingy that needs to be exercised. And it only gets exercised when you run, but you need to have strength in it. The short version is the way to fix this problem is through stretches, daily stretches. And there's all these weird things, and Kendra makes fun of me because there's one called the scorpion where you do like this thing. And that's the front one. The scorpion is the back one. But here's the deal. If I want to run, which I wouldn't say I enjoy it, but I do it because it's a good thing for my health, I suppose. If I wanted to do that, I need to have a plan. I can't just accidentally hope that my IT band will work. I have a plan, and when I exercise, that's one of the things that's part of my routine now. It didn't used to be, because I want to get that ligament, tendon, thingamabobber to be working so that I can run. But if I just let it go, or I'll get to it when I can, it wouldn't work. That's what I need you to understand. That having a plan, you're not going to become a better prayer by just, it'll happen when it happens, because it doesn't. And I'm not saying you don't want it to happen. I'm not saying that God stops loving you because it doesn't happen, but just who we are. So the second thing, so surrender, it requires planning. The third thing is being a prayer means focus. There are so many distractions in life. There are so many distractions. And we don't need to talk about it. We know there are so many things around us. And if we're going to really talk with God, if we're going to have a relationship, and if prayer simply is that, speaking with God, then we need to find a way where we're able to focus on it. And again, that doesn't mean you can't pray in the midst of a crazy environment. That doesn't mean that, your boss called you in and you have to go meet with him right now, and or you got called to the principal's office. You know, if you did something wrong, you should definitely be praying. But it doesn't mean you can't just, okay, God, I don't know why they called me into the office. Help me right now to do the right thing. Whatever. I mean, that's cool. You can do that. But also the idea of focus really helps us to truly surrender, to truly pray, to truly present our requests to God by having some focus. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is the passage we look at in the wireless series. Jesus talks about praying. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward that they will ever get. So he says, if you're praying for other people, that's all wrong. But he says, that's not the issue isn't about being out in public where people can see you. I tell you the truth, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Now again, that doesn't mean you can't pray out in public. It doesn't mean every time someone from the band leads us in prayer, we're in sin or anything crazy like that. But he's saying there is something to focus, that the idea is not about everybody else. It's about you and God. And I'd love to say this, right? That if I asked you to come up here this morning and lead us in prayer, I'd love to wish for you. I don't know if that's a weird sounding phrase. I would love for you to come up here and go, you know what? Okay. Not because you're a good prayer, and not because you're even an upfront person, because I know that scares right away, scares you to death, but because you understand that prayer isn't about what other people think about you. It's not about sounding good to them. It's about you speaking to God. And when you speak to God, if you're having a conversation with anybody, you're focused on them. I'm really bad about this. Honestly, I apologize. I'm your pastor and you probably want better things from me. But if you come and talk to me before the worship experience, you can say hi, you can talk about random things, but if you tell me something important and serious, I probably won't remember it because I am not focused on you. I love you. I wish I could be, but I'm usually focused on what's going on here, which I should be. That's the reality of what focus means, is that when you focus, you're focusing on what matters. And that's what Jesus is saying, don't worry about the people. Go away by yourself. Pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything anyway, he will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on. And again, we talked about this in that series, but he says, don't just make up words to sound fancy and formal. Just focus on talking to me. Don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. So prayer is an issue of focus. And when Kendra and I go out on dates, one of the things that we do, now at this point I would say it's just a habit, it's natural. But if we go to a restaurant and there is a TV, I sit with my back to the TV as much as possible. There's some places where it's like, oh man. But I sit with my back to the TV as much as possible because I know that I'm on a date with my wife, not with ESPN. And so if I'm going to go out on a date and spend the money and spend the time to develop a relationship with my wife, I need to be focusing on her. And so we try to do that where I'm sitting, because she doesn't get distracted by TV the way I do. And so I try to sit that way so that my focus is on her. And if you want to be a good prayer, you need to make sure that you have focus. Find a way, a time where you can be, as much as possible, undistracted. Is that a word? Non-distracted. Distracted, or distracted, I guess. If you're distracted, so find a time when you can be distracted. Don't know what that means, but now you know it's a word. Because that's the whole point, that if you really want to pray, you need to get rid of the other things and be able to focus, because prayer is talking to God. So that's the issue, that if you want to be a prayer, you need to surrender it all, give it up to God. You need to make a plan, and find a way where you can focus on talking to him. Because prayer is the way back to peace. That if we want to get back on this path, if we want to get back to this spot where we are not worried about everything, worried about big things, worried about little things, worried about something, just no worry at all, prayer is the way back to that. That's what he promises us. That's what God tells us. And it's such a beautiful thing.